2 Corinthians chapter number 5 as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. I want you to keep your Bibles open, please, and follow along with me tonight. We'll read one verse, but then be looking at several verses in this chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 9. The Bible says, Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank You for this time. And Lord, we thank You that we can enter into Your presence. What a sweet time it is to be with Thee. I ask You to help me tonight. I pray that we would all come before Thee. Take heed to Thy Word. Strengthen us through it and help us to be obedient to it. And Lord, as You work in our lives, I pray that we would go and work for Thee. Lead others to Christ. Help me, Lord. Please empower me. I can't do this. I don't even know all the words to say, but God, I pray that Thy Spirit would guide my thoughts. And Lord, I pray that You would use me somehow, some way, to be a blessing and an encouragement, to reach hearts and souls. For it's the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen and amen. The Bible says, Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. And Paul is looking here, and he's writing to the church at Corinth. And he's helping them to understand some things. He's helping them to realize that there are some things that helped him to keep going. And sometimes we get discouraged, you know? You ever have that problem? Does anybody here ever get discouraged? And Paul, can you imagine, had every reason to be discouraged with all that was going on. But he kept going for God. And he came down to his final days. And he said, I'm ready now to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. How did he keep going? Well, he's writing to us here to give us some insight to this. And I want to preach on this thought, why we do what we do. Why we do what we do. When we look at this chapter, chapter number 5, we see several things that ought to encourage us and to help us. And we're going to work our way backwards, if you will, tonight. And we're going to come to an understanding of why we do what we do. And I want to be quick about this. I've got about 2 hours of sermon. I'm going to preach in about 30 minutes, all right? Or less. And we'll see what God does. There's times that we go through disappointments. There's times we go through discouragement. There's times when things do not go the way that we thought they would go. There are times when it just don't turn out right, you know? According to our standards, according to our way, and according to our thoughts. We had it all planned out. And then when it's all over, we scratch our head and say, huh, that didn't happen the way I thought it'd happen. You ever have that? That's most of the things in my life, you know? And I was looking at this, and I'd heard some people preach on this years ago, and what a blessing it was as I heard certain things that he said, and hopefully some of these things that he said will be incorporated in this and be a blessing to you, but more importantly, God's Word will help us to understand why we just keep on going for God. First of all, because of the saints' call. The saints' call. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 20 of chapter 5. The Bible says, Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. So we understand that there was a day in our life when the Lord Jesus became sin for us. We talked about that this morning. And we became the righteousness of God in Him. In other words, we became a part of the family of God. And the Bible says in verse number 20, Now then we are ambassadors for Christ. So God has saved us and God has called us. And tonight as a saint, we are called to be an ambassador for the Lord. An ambassador is somebody that cannot quit. They can't falter or fail. They cannot be sidetracked. You have to understand, we're not talking about in the ministry to, we're not in the ministry to build some religious kingdom. We are to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. We're an ambassador of Christ. Everywhere we go, we're an ambassador for Him. We are a royal representative of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So every restaurant we go into, every grocery store we go into, every neighborhood we go into, every workplace we go into, every school building we go into, every sanctuary we go into, every neighborhood, every neighbor's home that we go into, every playground and park, and everywhere we go, we're an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're to represent Him. We are to be able to say what the Lord would say if He was there. We need to learn, what does Jesus say about things? There's authority behind the Word of God. There's nothing more authoritative in another land than when an ambassador goes, maybe an ambassador of the United States of America, and they're in another country. They have the authority of the president of the United States. And what is happening is when there's dialogue taking place, that ambassador is able to represent the United States of America and the authority of the president. And we have authority tonight from heaven. But we must be careful to say what Jesus would have us to say. I think one of the greatest downfalls in Christianity today is we're too busy telling our opinions instead of telling what the Bible has to say. Amen. I'm full of opinions, but they don't amount to a hill of beans if the Word of God doesn't back it up. There's some wonderful things about being an ambassador too. There are rules, you know, about an ambassador. First of all, an ambassador is a citizen in one country working in another. That's pretty good. A citizen in one world working in another. And tonight, my home address may be 2907 East Sly Avenue, Tampa, Florida, 33610. Send all checks and correspondence to that mailing address. Fine with me. Cash is accepted. Credit card if it's got something on it, all right? Not owed if it's got free space. 2907, you got it? You can send it to 2903 or 2901, 2905. 2910. He's done gone to meddling. Anyway, that's my home address. But I'm a citizen of another country. I have residence in another world. I have been brought into the family of God, and He has called me to be an ambassador to this world. And I'm to be on a mission, and you're to be on a mission. And that mission is to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're saved tonight, you have a home in heaven. And dear friends, while addresses may change down here, if you've trusted Christ, you have a permanent address. And you're a representative. You may be a citizen of that place, but you're working in this place. You know, another thing about an ambassador is a country won't make war on another country until all the ambassadors are home. That's pretty good, isn't it? You say, what do you get so excited about these things for? Well, I'm not real excited right yet, but I'm going to be one of these days, because there's going to be a war. There's going to be a battle that's going to take place. But before that battle ever takes place, before Armageddon, even 7 years before Armageddon, guess what's going to happen? All the ambassadors are going to be called home. Why do we keep going? Why do we do what we do? Because of the saints' call. We are called to be an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are called to represent Christ in this world. We're a citizen of heaven, dear friend. But thank God He's given us a work to do while we're here. And we need to be doing it the way that He would have us to do it. So many of us, we try to do it our way. But we need to do it God's way. We need to be an ambassador. We've been called. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Not only do we see the saints' call, another reason of why we do what we do is because of salvation's change. The Bible says in verse number 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are God's, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ and given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." So the Bible says that if we're in Christ, we've been made a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. Paul is realizing here, as he's writing to the church at Corinth, he's realizing that he was not his own. He had had an experience with God that had changed his life. If you've ever been saved, you've been changed. The Bible's clear, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. There's been something that's taken place in your life that's going to change you, that's going to make you different. And if His grace and His mercy is not worth us continuing on for Him, then you begin to wonder, were we really trusting Him by faith? You know? I think about Paul, that great persecutor of the believers, wrecking churches everywhere he went, going into homes and going after people that named the name of Christ. But he had an experience with the Lord Jesus Christ one day on the Damascus Road. And he was writing to the church at Galatia, and he said this about himself. He said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God." Now, did you notice what the Bible said there? I live by the faith of the Son of God. Not faith in the Son of God. He's living on the faith of Christ. That's pretty good too. So we have to realize that this faith that we have has changed us, and now we're no longer our own. Now we have been changed. We've been crucified with Christ, but we're still alive. But the life we live because of salvation's change. In other words, I have purpose every day for life. I have reason every day for the life, for my life. Before I was saved, I had just about everything to live with and nothing to live for. But now that I am saved, I have someone worth living for. And so do you. Amen. We're to serve the Lord. We're to keep on going because of the change that salvation has made. See, we don't serve in order to get saved. We serve because we are saved. We don't work in order to stay saved. We work because we are saved. Paul, I know in his heart and in his soul, continually went back to the Damascus Road, and he was always busy telling people what happened to him. And that's one of the greatest things you can do, is tell people what the Lord's done for you. The greatest testimony you have is what Christ has done. And you remember on the Damascus Road, after he had that encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, he asked this question to the Lord. He said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Since you've been saved, have you asked the Lord that same question? Paul was an ambitious kind of fellow, you know. He was a go-getter. And he put his all into whatever it was he did. And instantly he said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And when the Lord told him, you know what he did? Started doing it. Because of the grace of God had changed him. Salvation's change. He's writing to the church at Corinth. He said, this is why I keep going. Because I've been made a new creature in Christ. Salvation's change. We see the saints call. We see salvation's change. And then thirdly, we need to understand that one of the things that keeps us going, or one of the things of why we do what we do, is the Savior's compassion. Verse 14 says it well. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. What are we constrained by tonight? The love of Christ. If the love of Christ is not motivating us or moving us, we need to check up on our relationship with him. In other words, we've allowed it to grow cold and indifferent. You know what I mean? And we need to have that fellowship back in that relationship. You know, we can be saved and be out of fellowship with the Lord. And when you're out of fellowship, you don't lose the relationship as father and child, but you lose that fellowship. And that's a terrible place to be, out of fellowship with God, if you're a believer. If you're a believer, it's a terrible place to be. This word, constrain, literally it means to be intoxicated or motivated by the love of Christ. Think about it. You're just overwhelmed by His love. That ought to keep us going, shouldn't it? That ought to help us to do what it is we're supposed to do. It means to be compressed. It's on a narrow road. In other words, we keep running into His love. Everywhere we go, there's His love. Everything we do, He's saying, I love you. We make our mistakes and we mess up. We fail and we falter. He's standing there. And He constrains us once again by His love. And He says, I know you've made your mistake, but I want you to know how much I love you. You can never get over the love of Christ. Not by His love for Christ as much as by Christ's love for Him. It's an interesting thought, isn't it? Sometimes we don't love the Lord the way we should. But guess what? He always loves you the way that He should. I know I've told this story many times around here. A preacher by the name of Hanley Melby and another preacher, and I wish I could remember the other preacher's name. I was driving down the road, and Hanley Melby is one of them old-timey preachers, you know. The young preacher was in the car with him, and the young preacher thought, you know, he was going to say some things to this older preacher and try to get some insight and all that. And the young preacher looked over at Brother Melby and said something like this. He said, boy, I sure do love Jesus. Don't you, Brother Melby? Brother Melby looked at him and said, don't reckon I do like I should. Car got quiet. The young preacher didn't know what to say, and Brother Melby just kept quiet over here. They kept driving down the road, and the young preacher sitting there, and I mean, his mind was just wandering and wandering and wandering. And Brother Melby said, well, I guess I'll tell you what I mean. The young preacher said, I sure wish you would. Brother Melby looked at him and said, the Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And he said, you know, I sure have failed at so many things that God has commanded me to do. So yeah, I love the Lord, but I need to love Him more. I need to love Him more. When you see that and you hear that and you think about that, and Brother Melby was one that was known for great things, we're reminded of the Savior's compassion. All them times when we don't love Him like we should, He never stops loving us like He should. That ought to keep us going. You ever want to quit? Don't forget how much Jesus loves you. Don't forget the agony he went through on the cross of Calvary was because he loved you. Don't forget, as they were beating him, bruising him, and spitting upon him, he was doing it just for you. The Savior's compassion. Move our lives on it. We ought to talk to others about how much the Lord Jesus loves us instead of us talking about how much we love Him. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, the thing is a lot of times we tell others how much we love the Lord, but our lives don't back it up. But when we tell others how much Jesus loves us, even when our lives don't back it up, Jesus is still true to His Word. Why we do what we do. The Savior's compassion. Then fourthly, tonight I want you to see the seat's claim. The seat's claim. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. You know, people talk about, I can't wait till the Lord calls me home. I can't wait till the rapture. But there's going to be a judgment seat. And at that judgment seat, while our sin will not be judged, we're still going to experience the terror of the Lord. Paul says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. So many people says, well, you know, you don't need to be confrontational about it. You just need to go and, you know, be this and be that and be the other. And you know, be sweet and be kind and all that. Now, I'm not saying you go in with an attitude that you're going to crucify somebody, you know. But we need to realize, we need to be persuasive. We need to learn to talk to people in such a way with the authority of God's Word. See, if we'll learn to give God's Word instead of giving our opinion, it can move people. Because there's authority in the Word of God. But the Bible says that one day we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. All believers have to appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to receive the things done in our body according to that He hath done, whether it's good or bad. In other words, what have we done that God has for us to do? We will stand before the judgment seat. So that ought to keep us going. Why do we do what we do? Because we're going to be judged for what we do with Christ. That's why. The Bible says we're going to appear. It means we're going to stand before Him just like we really are. You know, there's not going to be any pretensions there. I can stand before you and I can fool you. I'm sorry, but I can fool you in a lot of ways. And you can fool me in a lot of ways. I've heard some preachers say, well, my life is an open book, but I promise you there are pages that have never been turned. I've heard a lot of Christians say that. You know, well, you know, I'm transparent. Who knows what transparency means anymore? You know? Because everybody I hear say transparent. Christians I hear say, politicians I hear say, dignitaries of other worlds I hear say, seems like they're always concealing something. And usually they use that just as a word instead of really meaning something. But I've heard people say things like that. You know, well, you know, you can just look at me and see me. I am who I am. You get what you see. I found out most people that says you get what you see, they really never are what they say they are. And I've seen a lot of people in the pulpit that's nothing like what they are outside the pulpit. As a matter of fact, I've heard preachers preach great messages, and when you get to know them on the outside, you really don't care for them in the pulpit. Paul says right here, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And by the way, that word appear means that we're going to stand open. God's going to see everything about you. He already knows it anyway. But you're not going to be able to stand there and give a reason and say, well, this is why. You know, I had a bad day that day, Lord. It's not going to work. There's not going to be anything. So that ought to keep us going. We ought to understand that the seed's claim, realizing that we're going to stand before the Lord, and because of that, we need to understand that we've got to keep going for God. The real us is going to be there. And God's going to know the motive behind everything we do. That's why our motive needs to be pure. When we stand before the Lord and this judgment takes place, there's going to be rewards. Without getting into all of it, it's going to be rewards of wood, hay, and stubble, or gold, silver, and precious stone. See, our works are going to be tried by what? Fire. A lot of things, wood's not bad, hay's not bad, and I don't guess even stubble in the right instances is not bad. You can take and you can build things with wood. You can take and you can feed things with hay, and I'm not sure anything. I think you can take stubble and make mortar and other things like that with it. So it's not necessarily a bad thing. But what we have to understand is this. The only thing that really matters in our life is not that we're doing good things, but we're doing God's things. Because when we stand before the Lord, we're going to stand before the Lord with the work that God had for us to do. And there's a lot of people that busy themselves in church work, but they don't do everything that God wants them to do. And it's not necessarily bad things. There's a lot of Christians doing good things, but is it what God wants for them? And so when their works are tried, they're going to be tried by fire. Guess what's going to burn? The wood's going to burn. The hay's going to burn. The stubble's going to burn. You say, well, they're not bad things. No. But are they what God has for you? In other words, God may call somebody to be a missionary, and they may decide, well, you know, I'd like to do whatever it is God wants to do, but I don't really know that I want to go to the mission field. So they stay, and they just involve themselves in local church, but God wanted them to go to Africa or Asia or some other state. He had that for them. But they do everything they ought to do in that local church where they are, and they say, well, I'm just going to do what I do here. Well, can I help you to understand this? Please, you can never witness to the wrong person, because that is always gold, silver, and precious stone. But a lot of the things that God has for your life is also determined by us being obedient and going where He wants us to go. And a lot of people will come and they'll take part in all the activities of church, or some people just busy themselves and have all kinds of activities in church, and they'll do this, that, and the other. And I mean, everybody looks at them and says, boy, they do a lot of good things for the Lord. When God's told them all along, I wanted you to be in Japan, a lot of the things you do, good things, may end up being consumed by that fire. Therefore, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. The judgment of God is going to be a terrible place, a terrible thing. But then when you're doing what God wants you to do and you're in the place where God wants you to be, you know what? It's going to be gold, silver, and precious stone. And guess what happens with those precious things when the fire gets a hold of them? They're purified. They're made more precious. And precious is going to be the rewards we get for doing God's will, God's way. Do you see the seat's claim? We need to understand this. Standing before the judgment seat of Christ is not going to be such a pleasant thing. I long for the return of the Lord, and I am looking for that blessed hope. And I'm excited that Jesus is coming, but I'm not excited about the judgment seat. Because I know more about me than you know about me, and I realize how little I've done with the Lord. Then finally tonight, I've got 3 minutes. a sure consolation. It's all to keep us going. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 1. The Bible says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." When life is over, the Bible says, if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, that tabernacle there, it means a tent, it's a temporary dwelling place. If our earthly house, our earthly tabernacle, this temporary dwelling place were dissolved. That word dissolve means to pull up stakes, to roll up the ropes, to fold up the flaps, and to go on to the next camping place. In other words, if that it was dissolved, if it was moved, you know, if it's over and done with, the Bible says we have a building. The tabernacle is something temporary, but we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. In other words, this is a building and it means something that is forever and has permanent occupancy. We have, not we shall have. Paul says we have. Just as sure as I'm standing here, I have a building in heaven. Not made with hands, that God has prepared for me and for all those that love Him, for all those that have put their faith in Him. God has that place for us. The Bible says, and we could get into a lot of this, we're not, but it says, "For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle, this temporary dwelling place, do groan, being burdened. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life." In other words, Paul's saying, I'm looking for Jesus to come. Mortality. In other words, I'm looking forward to not dying. And just going and being with the Lord. Being swallowed up of life, that's life eternal. He clarifies it. "Now he that wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit." So he's given us the promise, the assurance that we're going to heaven because he's given us the Spirit. That's the earnest. You ever heard of an earnest payment? Somebody says, "I'm giving you this money to know that I'm good to my word." And that's what he's done. He says, "I'm giving you the Spirit so you'll know that I'm good to my word. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight." And Paul says, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." You know what Paul's saying? There's a sure consolation. He's saying, to be absent from this body means I'm going to be present with the Lord. If the tabernacle, this earthly tabernacle, this earthly house of tabernacle is dissolved, I already have a building of God, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And that brings us back to our text verse. Wherefore, because of these promises, because of this sure consolation, wherefore we labor that whether being present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. That word accepted means that we may be pleasing to Him. That is why we do what we do. Let's bow our heads forward to prayer tonight. May God help us to keep on keeping on for the Lord. May God help us to do what we do because of God's working in our life. May the Spirit of God guide us and help us and strengthen us. Why do you do what you do? Are you doing what God wants you to do? Are you where God wants you to be? Are you serving the way God wants you to serve? God may be speaking to you about surrendering your life to being a preacher, a missionary. And you may say, well, I'll do anything but that. You're going to miss out on so many things, and a lot of things that you do is going to be wood, hay, and stubble, because God has a plan and a purpose for your life. God always blesses us for doing right things, but when we stand before the Lord, we must realize this judgment seat is really dependent upon our obedience to the Lord. You know? You understand that? Do we understand this? May the Lord help us. Do you know that you're saved? You can't be called to be an ambassador until you're a part of the kingdom, you know? Till you're saved, till you know that heaven's going to be your home. Till you've trusted Jesus Christ and Him alone. Till you've been made righteous in Him. And that's the starting point. Then He has a calling on your life to be an ambassador, to represent the Lord everywhere you go. But He has a place where you serve. Would you go where He wants you to go? Would you do what He wants you to do? And go with His compassion. You see that? The Savior's compassion ought to keep us going. The times when you feel the loss and you feel like you want to throw in the towel and you want to quit, you remember that He never gave up on you and He never quit loving you. And that one day we're going to stand before the Lord, give an account, openly give an account. And while that may be a very difficult time, thank God, we do have a sure consolation. Heaven's ours. We have a building of God, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. It's good to be saved. Lord Jesus, I come to the throne of God through Thee, asking, dear Lord, that You would help us to go away encouraged to keep going for You and to do what we do because of Your grace, Your mercy, Your guiding and leadership in our lives. Help us to be faithful. And I want to thank You, Lord, for being faithful to us. Personally, I want to thank You for being faithful to me. Lord, You know my desire is to go forward following You. Help us all to respond to Thy word tonight and help us to determine we're going to keep going and we're going to do these things because of Your working in our life. In Christ's name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you quietly stand to your feet tonight?